Lord, we just thank you for your goodness, and we thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your love and your kindness. Lord, we thank you for your grace. Oh, Lord, I just love your grace. Lord, I love that you, Lord God, look upon us through your blood, Lord God, and I thank you. Oh God, that you don't see us as we are, but you see us through the blood of Jesus Christ, Lord God. And we just thank you. We pray that you would bless this class and all the classes throughout the house, Lord God. Lord, as we impart the word of Jesus, Lord, your word says your people perish for lack of knowledge, Lord God. And I pray, Lord God, by your Holy Spirit, that you would impart knowledge and understanding to us, Lord God, so we will know how to stand in the evil day, Lord God. We will know how to react, oh God, as we face the world tomorrow, Lord God. So we just thank you and we praise you. We say, come, Holy Spirit, come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We're going to get right into our lesson, just reviewing some things. We are still on the lesson, The Lord of Glory, and we're going to be doing Living This Name today. Last week we finished up knowing this name, and just to review a little bit, we talked about the glory of the Lord being described by a Hebrew word called kabod. And we talked about the Old Testament's word for glory is kabod, which focuses more on the idea of weightiness of glory than the brightness of glory. And that was such an important point, because when we look at the glory of that Christ has imparted to us, because we have received him into ourselves, we have to look also at our glory, the weight of our glory, over the brightness of our glory. We're not looking at how shiny and how pretty we look, but more the weight of the glory that is upon us. And that weight comes along with obedience to Christ, and that weight sometimes comes with suffering, but it's a part of the weight of the glory of God over the shininess or the brightness that we see. When we talk about glory on earth, we talk about the glory of a bride, and we talk about the glory of a majestic scenery. But when we talk about the glory of God, it's different. There's a weight to it. You know, it's not something that we can just put on. You can't even pretend to have this glory. Either you have it or you don't. You know, it's a weight that is within you because of your life in Jesus Christ. And he's always trying to take us from glory to glory, the scripture says. And it comes through obedience. It comes through just going through. We cited 2 Corinthians 4. Verses 16 and 18, and it says, therefore we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. And that's so interesting how glory is attached to this suffering peace, or this going through peace. And from the very beginning, we talked about the glory of Christ and how he hid it so he could carry out the will of the Father. And we have to take on this same attitude. If we're going to show and radiate the glory of God, we have got to understand this issue with suffering and sacrifice and going through. And verse 18 says, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And that's what our eye has to be on all the time. We're talking about glory. We got to be looking at the eternal, folks, and not at the temporal or the temporary things. And then now as we go into living this name, it's just so interesting as we're talking about this and the song that we're playing, Thy Will Be Done. And you know, and that's what it's about, Thy Will Be Done. You know, as we hear the news, I don't know if you guys heard the news that Paul Schultz went to be with the Lord yesterday. And boy, it just hits us because we miss it. Yeah, he did. I just heard myself just a little while ago.
Who died?
You know, Paul Schultz. Just hearing that and just hearing what a servant of God he was. And now he's gone on to his reward. And I know we are sad for ourselves, not for him, but for ourselves. because we're left here, you know, but he's gone on to his reward. And again, what we say is that song, Thy Will Be Done, Lord God. That's your child. That's your servant, you know, and his will be done, you know, and we carry on so that we can be there too someday. And we will be there someday. In the name of Jesus, I declare it and speak it over all of us that we will be there someday. So as we talk about living this name, the Lord of Glory, we open with our verse, Revelation 7:12, that says, they sang, Amen, or so be it, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and strength, and I think they could go on and on, belong to our God forever and ever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Boy, what a praise, what a praise, what a praise. So as we go into the first point on our lesson, it says there is no time, no place, and no situation in which Christ is not worthy of praise. Let me read that one again. I got to just read that again. There is no time, no place, and no situation in which Christ is not worthy of praise. And I'm like, you know, this lesson, these lessons were written weeks ago, and I didn't know we would be talking about it on this day where we're grieving over our brother. You know, but it just ministers to me, because I know only God could have done that, you know, because he is worthy of praise. Even on this day, he's worthy of praise, as he is the Lord of glory of all things accomplished in us according to his purposes. Our glory is his work. Nothing in this life has to work out for your good. Do you know that? Nothing in this life has to work out for your good. As the Lord of glory, he causes it to be so. Do you understand that? It doesn't have to work out. He causes it to be so because he is the Lord of glory. That's why you don't have to worry about what's going on, because he causes it to work out for your good. His holy scripture promises, and we know, the apostle said, and we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. That's Romans 8:28 from the New Living Translation. He accomplishes his glory in your life. Do you understand? He accomplishes it. It is not you. It is not your skill set. It is not your degree. It is not just who you know. It is the Lord that causes it to work together for your good. Through our blessings and our losses, the Lord is worthy of praise. Job proclaimed after he had lost everything. He had lost his family. He had lost all his possessions. And this is what he proclaimed. He said, the Lord gave me what I had, and the Lord has taken it away. Praise the name of the Lord. That is Job 1:21b. I'm telling you, lost everything. His wife told him, why don't you just curse God and die? And he said, you speak like a foolish woman. Hallelujah. The Lord has given me everything I have, and the Lord has taken it away, but praise be the name of the Lord. Remember what Christ endured. 1 Peter 2, 21 through 23. If you have your Bible, just open up to that scripture right now. It records this of our Lord. It says, for God called you to do good, even if it means suffering, just as Christ suffered for you. He is your example, and you must follow in his steps. He never sinned nor ever deceived anyone. He did not retaliate when he was insulted, nor threaten revenge when he suffered. He left his case in the hands of God, who always judges fairly. You're talking about glory? Okay. See, this is what glory looks like. The scripture is 1 Peter 2. I read the 21st to the 23rd verses. This is what glory looks like. When we're talking about living this name today, okay? This is the hard section, you know, where we're talking about living it. And he gives this example of Christ. and how he suffered and he was obedient to his Father. He was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And we talked about that in the previous lesson, how the cross was such a horrible, tragic way to die. It was humiliating, and it was the worst way you could have died. And even before they hung him on the cross, they whipped him and they beat him. You know, and he hid that glory. Can you imagine? He hid that glory in his broken body for you and for me. He hid it. So this is what glory is looking like, guys. When we talk about living this name, we're talking about not returning insult for insult, not retaliating when we are insulted, not taking revenge. Even when we have the power in our hands to take revenge on people and the opportunity we have sometimes to take revenge on people, we do not do it. We do it God's way. He left his case in the hands of God, who always judges fairly, because you don't have enough information. I'm going to tell you right now, you don't have enough information to judge people. You know, that's why you don't need to be taking things into your own hands and taking care of somebody that did something to you, because you do not have enough information. God has all the information. That's why he is the only one who can judge fairly. I know we have our courts of laws and different things, and we have to. We have to have some system. Some system of government, some system so that we can govern ourselves, you know. But even juries make mistakes and judges make mistakes. But when it comes to situations where you just can take vengeance on somebody, folks, I'm telling you, leave your case in the hand of God like your Savior has. Because sometimes I have to ask people, who do you serve now? Because I'm looking at you and you tell me you serve Jesus Christ, that one that hung on the cross, that's the one you serve. Because I'm looking at your life and I'm wondering, who are you really? Do you serve him? Because I saw his life and I'm looking at your life and they're not matching up. There's a missing somewhere. You know, so we have to understand this Lord of glory. You know, I know when you first hear the title, you're thinking, oh, gee, Jesus in all his brightness and Jesus in all his greatness and oh my God, and how his beauty. No. We have to go to Jesus and all his suffering, and Jesus and all his, how he kept his mouth shut, how, you know, as a sheep before its shearers is dumb, he opened not his mouth, said the scripture. He had all power in his hand, but he didn't. He even had to call off his disciples. He had to call Peter off. Peter, don't. And then had to have a healing service right there in the garden. Because Peter done cut off somebody's ear. And he's trying to show Peter what the glory of God looks like. Folks, if you want to radiate his glory, prepare to take some stuff, okay? Prepare yourself to take some stuff. And that's what we're talking about. I'm telling you, we're talking about living this name today. This is the hard part of our lessons when it comes to when we have to talk about living it. We should not, the next point says, we should not overlook the important fact that Jesus is not merely our glory, even our glory personified. He is the Lord of that glory. Christ is the Lord of excellence. The development of your excellence in him may begin with suffering. Okay, so just keep that in mind. As he's developing excellence in you, it may be some suffering. In fact, I'll guarantee you, there will be some suffering involved as he's developing excellence in you. Remember where we came from. We came from the city of pride. We were raised in the city of pride. We were born in the city of pride. So he's got to deal with us, because he is the Lord of glory, and he is the Lord of humility. He had to, and we went over this lesson before, he had to come in humility because we fell in pride. And the only way you can nullify pride is with humility. So he had to come that way. He didn't have to be born in a manger. He had to be born in a manger because of us. Because that's where we fell. And he knew from the very beginning, I got to go to them in humility because they fell in pride. And you cannot fight pride with pride. You fight pride with humility. And that's what we are called to do, folks. As Lord, the next point says, as Lord, he brings us to excellence. When we first came to Christ, we needed much work to be done in our souls. As the Lord of glory, he was and is and will be faithful to bring us to excellence. This is a part of what our daily work is about, bringing us to excellence in our living, our attitude, our behavior, our loving, etc., etc., etc. The Lord of glory is ever working in us to bring his excellence into our lives. His excellence, not what we think is excellent, but his excellence. As he is willing to share his glory, which is the greatest glory, with us, we must learn through him how to attain it. Because we don't know how to attain this glory. We don't know how to go from glory to glory. We don't. So what he does is that he allows these things. Don't think things just slipped through the Lord's hand and got to you and he didn't know about it. No, folks, I know some of the lessons are hard. Some of the lessons are hard. Some of the lessons are downright tragic sometimes in our lives, but no, all things, he causes it to work together for your good. Nothing's lost in his hand. Everything is eternal in his hand. But you've got to learn your lesson. I tell people, God is teaching me how to learn my lesson. When I'm upset about something, I used to just be looking at the, oh, Lord, won't you do something with so-and-so? And why don't you do this with so-and-so? And then they're just getting on my nerves every day, same old. And then the Lord is teaching me now. They're not the one that need to learn the lesson. You're the one that's upset. So you're the one that needs to learn the lesson. That's what I needed to get. The lesson was for me, not for them. It was for me. Because see, you don't know how to handle anything anymore. You still don't know how to handle anything. You still fly off the handle. You still don't know how to humble yourself and deal with it my way. So next time you're upset, I want you to keep in mind the lesson is for you. I know we don't want to hear that, but we're talking about living this name today, okay? We're talking about living it. So we have to understand that the lesson is for you. He's teaching us how to attain that glory. As the scripture says, we go from glory to glory, and he's teaching us how to attain it. It will not be through accolades and praises. We think we're going to get glory. We look at glory through the accolades and the praise. Oh, I'm in my glory now. I'm getting my accolades and I'm getting my praises. But that is not it. It will come through the path of sacrifice and the path of suffering. That's where you're going to get that kabod, that weightiness of glory. So keep that in mind. God does not forget you. You feel forgotten. He is not forgetting. He's watching you, especially when you're down, especially when you're going through. He's got his magnifying glass on you then to see how you come through this. Do you turn to him? Do you turn to the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is real. I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit will change you. The Holy Spirit will change your attitude. You can be in one state of mind and thinking about doing one thing and doing it this way and what you're going to say. And the Holy Spirit, if you would invite him in, the Holy Spirit will shift you all the way over to the ways of God. And by the end of the day, you're going to buy that person a present. Give it to him.
Maybe the present is coming.
Yeah, Connie's still working on the present, but she's shifting, but she hasn't gotten to the gift yet. She's not buying the present yet, okay? So we'll just keep working. God, he'll work. He'll keep working. And that's okay. Thank you for sharing that, because that's okay. You know, because it's a process. You know, because sometimes he changes your mind, and sometimes it's just about keeping your mouth shut because you still are angry. So keep your mouth shut, because that's the Holy Spirit Because sometimes the Holy Spirit said, don't say a word. Because I know my blood is at a low simmer. I'm a choleric. I'm sorry. I'm a choleric. And sometimes my blood is at a low simmer. And I know I need to be quiet. Karen needs to be quiet. Because her blood is at a low simmer right now. And the Holy Spirit said, don't say a word. You're not even ready to talk. You know? And it'll take me a few days. And then he'll give me the words. His words. You know, and then it might take me a few more days to be able to say his words. And then a few more days before I can buy the present. So, you know, he works on us. He works to bring that glory out in our lives. So understand when you're going through on any given day, I know we all going through frustration, but I'm telling you, learn the lesson. It's not random. Nothing's random. He's got you, and he's like, I'm teaching you something. If you would just see it, watch when you're something's bothering you, because he's teaching us. The next point says, for one thing, the word Lord in the Greek is kurios, not only means master, but owner. Okay, it's going to get really harder, even harder. The word master suggests one to whom service is due on any ground. That's the definition of someone being your master. So we say Jesus is our master. Well, this is what it means. The word master suggests one to whom service is due on any ground. If Christ is your master, you cannot choose the times in which he owns you. At all times and in all situations, he is your Lord and he's worthy of praise. You can't pick and choose when he's going to be your master and when he isn't. Either he's your master or he's not. What did Jesus say? Why call me Lord, Lord, and you do not the things that I say? You know, question mark. You know, why are you calling me Lord and you don't even do what I say? I'm not your master. And then you have to question, well, who is my master? Okay, answer that question. That's what we all want to know. Who is your master? You coming and sitting in church and singing praise and worship and all this stuff. Who is your master? When I see you on Monday and Tuesday and through the week, who's master today? You know, do you have different masters through the week? Because you can't pick and choose. If he's master and he's owner, and he's owner and master at all times. The next point says Jesus is the master of glory. His mastery of glory entails its proper placement and service. And that's where it gets really hard for us, because we want him to do certain things for us at certain times the way we want it. And he is the master of glory. So he's going to decide the proper placement and service for his glory, not you. Because he loves us as he does, his placement and service of his glory is always for love. And that's what you got to remember. It's always for the love of you. Sometimes you don't need to have the upper hand at that moment in time. Because he is like, no, not right now. Keep the glory hidden. Keep it glory. Humble yourself. He knows where to place you for his glory. He knows where to, it may be in a soup kitchen. It may be cleaning the bathrooms. It may be, you know, babysitting children. It may be, you know, we always think the glory is going to be on stage. No, I'm telling you, the majority of his glory is in those hidden places where nobody ever sees you. It could be washing somebody's feet, you know, painting somebody's toenails that, you know, some person that can't get out. And you just, you know, go in there and visit her, paint her toenails. You know, I mean, those kind of things that we do. I don't know why I thought of that. I just thought that was just such a sweet thing to do. I've seen somebody do. I thought that was such a sweet thing to do. Somebody that couldn't bend over and then someone painted their toenails. I just thought that was just so sweet. You know, that we can, you know, that's where the glory radiates, folks. That's where the glory radiates. The next point says we were unlovely. We were drowning in sin. And then he came. He placed his glory in hiding for a moment to save us. And then he imparted his glory to us. I'm like, do you get that? He hid it to save us. And then he did what he needed to do, and then he came back and imparted his glory to us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm ready to drop the mic. I'm just ready to drop the mic. You know, and you have these pictures in your lesson. You know, the first picture is of his hidden glory as he hung on the cross suffering, and he's hiding his glory. And then the next picture is his glory revealed as he's raised from the dead. Oh, Lord, all power is given unto him in heaven and earth, he said. And he came and he rose in power and in glory. The next point says, the cross and the resurrection are the greatest demonstrations of Christ's mastery of glory. Do you see that? He knows when to hide it, and he knows when to reveal it. I mean, so that's what he's doing in your life. Sometimes he says, oh, no, keep that under wraps now. I know you know. I know you have the gift. I know you can sing better than so-and-so, but keep it under wraps right now because I'm doing a work in so-and-so. And you need to hide the glory I've given you. You know, your gifts are your glory. That's part of the glory. You would submit that thing to Christ? Oh, my goodness. But sometimes he'll say, hide it. I know you can cook better. I know you can make a better cake. I know y'all can make a better pound cake, but, you know, let Karen make the pound cake. That's my thing. You know, I got to make the pound cake, bro. You know? And sometimes I might have to step back and let somebody else make the pound cake. Okay. It's good. You know, so it's just those little things. As I said, it's those little things where the Lord will show you, no, don't reveal your glory right now. Hide it. For the benefit of somebody else. For the benefit of others that I love. I know you can do it better. I know you can do it. But hide what I've given you right now. And in that way, you radiate his glory so much. So much. I've seen people do that. Could do it better. You know, we do that for our children all the time. You know, could do it better. But, oh, baby, look at the beautiful cake you made. All lopsided and everything. But, oh, you know. Why? For the benefit of somebody else. That's who our Lord is. That's who our Savior is. And that's what, and then you, when you're doing that, you're going to a higher level in glory. You were never on stage. They didn't get to see you. They didn't get to hear you, but he elevated you to a higher place in glory. See, y'all, see, you got to get, I want him to elevate me. I can't be dealing with mankind elevating me, because mankind will elevate me today, and tomorrow he'll turn on me and knock me off the stage. I'm telling you, no, I don't want man's glory. I don't want it. I used to. Hey, yeah, I wanted the accolades. I wanted to be recognized, but I am learning. I want his glory. I want his, and I find that God is faithful. God will elevate you. And people won't even know, how in the world did she get that? How in the world did that happen? Because God, hallelujah, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you in due time. He will not forget you. He does not forget his own. Hallelujah. So it says, as we were saying, the cross and the resurrection are the greatest demonstrations of Christ's mastery of glory. His glory served his purposes of love for us. And the question we have to ask, what purpose does your glory serve? Oh, is it about human glory or spiritual glory? And would you hide your glory for a moment to serve his purposes of love? Would you? He won't force you to do it, but would you? To serve his purpose of glory. The next point says, the word owner includes one who has the disposal or control of anything. Do you understand that? He owns us. We talked about that last week. He owns. Do you understand? He owns. Whether you serve Jesus Christ or not, do you know he owns this planet? This is his planet. We're eating his food, breathing his air, drinking his water. He is the owner of everything, and he could have chosen to dispose of us, because if you own something, you could just throw it out if you want to. But instead, he chose to hide his glory and come down and save our mess. Hallelujah. I tell you, I hope you're loving. I hope you're learning how to love Jesus more. As I was studying this lesson, I just loved him more. I said, you know, I never saw it that way. That you, it's all yours, but yet you chose to save us. We talked about his prayer in the garden last week to his Father. The last will and testament of Jesus Christ before his Father. And he's praying for us. Father, these ones that, please let them be with me in glory. Please, can they come, Father? Remember how much you love me? Or we talked about that, how much you love me. Well, I love them. Would you, can they come with me? Oh, man, it blows my mind. Like, why would you even bother? Hallelujah. The next point says Christ's mastery of glory flows into his ownership of glory. He disposed of it to save us, then exposed it to lift us up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. His mastery flows into his ownership of glory. He disposed it to save us, and then he exposed it to lift us up. Oh, hallelujah. So we're talking again about living this name. He demonstrated what it is to live the Lord of glory and how he showed us how this should look like. This living will hit at the core of our pride. It will hit at the core of our pride. You know, when we first started this lesson, the Lord of glory, as I said, you think one thing and then it comes to something else. To be silent, to be still, and to know he is God. That's what it is to live this name, the Lord of glory. The next point says, therefore, as Christ's followers, we must live with the glory he imparted to us in the same manner. We conduct all of our business in the recognition that Christ is our excellence and majesty. He is our excellence and our majesty as we do our work, as we take care of our families, even as we cook, as we do everything. He is our work. He is our excellence and our mastery. So we have to shift to what this world says is glory. And we got to shift to allowing him to do that excellence in us and impart his majesty in us. We humble ourselves under his mighty hand. And when he lifts us up, we are careful, so careful to give him the honor and the glory. Hallelujah. Not give in to pride. And I'll tell you this right now, folks. The time when you are most vulnerable to giving in to pride is right after a blessing. Right after a blessing. I'm telling you, be careful. I warn you. After you have just had a blessing, that's when a lot of people mess up. Is when they, right after the blessing. They got the house, they got the car, they got the job, they got, you know, what they wanted. And then that's when they mess up. Look at this nation. Look at the United States of America. Boy, when we were just fledgling and we were just trying to get it together and we just, you know, I keep having that picture of George Washington, Valley Forge, and those raggedy soldiers. They had those raggedy, they were freezing. They had that picture, you know, that picture you see? George Washington standing up there all big and proud and the soldiers are clinging to the boat, freezing half to death. That was the U.S. Army. That was the U.S. Army. Back in the day, they show pictures of George Washington praying. You know, and you know, I don't care what people are trying to tell you. Sometimes people, today I find people are trying to rewrite history and all that stuff. Don't you believe it? There's a reason why every piece of our money has, in God we trust on it. That was not any accident. In God we trust. And I know we may have heard all those stories about that pyramid that's on the dollar bill. Yeah. There's a history behind that pyramid. That has to do with God. That eye at the top is supposed to be the eye of God. And the reason why they use the pyramid, because that is the most ancient building they could ever think of to put on there. So they use the pyramid because that shows the ancientness of God, that God was there from the beginning. And that eye on the top is the eye of God looking over the nation. That's why that's there. Okay, it doesn't have to do anything with the Illuminati. Check your history. Because people have said that. Again, as I said, people are trying to rewrite history. But from the very beginning, it was founded in God. You know, we didn't have much. You know, big old England was, big bully England was coming over here, you know, making us pay taxes. Remember, no taxation without representation. That was the big cry of the American colonies, you know. And we started to rebel and we started to stand up and we started to, and God had our back. You know, check out the national anthem. Check out America the Beautiful. Gave proof through the night that our flag was still there because God had our back. Because we were a praying people. We established ourselves as a Christian nation. You know, you got to read The Harbinger. So many of you have read The Harbinger. I'm telling you, when he talks about what happened and how they established this nation, they dedicated it to God. That church was one of the few things left standing after 9/11. That old church stood where the nation was dedicated to God. We started there, folks. We started there. And God had our back. The reason why this nation of all these different people, these different races, came together. How in the world? I know we had our wars and we had our issues, but we came together and God, I believe God looked down on this nation. He was pleased. I know, I know they're fighting, but one day, I appreciate the fact that they're trying to build a nation. Out of all the people of the world, they're building a nation. And it pleased God. It pleased God. And he had our back and he blessed us and he blessed us. How in the world have we become the most blessed nation on the planet? Founded in God. Founded in God. Just like Israel. They try to erase it. They try to erase. They will never erase Israel from the planet. I'm going to tell you now, they'll never erase Israel. You can try all you want. You will never erase Israel. And you'll never, you won't, as long as the United States. As I said, I got a question mark on the United States. I know Israel is established because God made the promise to Abraham. But the United States, we can't forget our beginnings. We can't forget our foundation. We can't forget that God has always had our back. And the moment we start trying to turn our self, we get prideful. As we were talking about pride. See, we've been blessed now. And after you get your blessing, oh, we don't need God anymore. In fact, what did God do for us? In fact, what does God do? That's what we think. We're going to do what we want to do. We don't need God anymore. Folks, I'm telling you, don't you believe that? Don't you believe that? The Roman Empire fell, folks. They didn't think the Roman Empire would ever fall. The Roman Empire fell. This nation can fall. So again, I go back just to where we started with this, is don't let the blessing take hold of you. Thank God for the blessing. Lord, I'm thankful that you blessed me. Show me what to do with the blessing. Show me how to bless. Show me how to use the blessing, Lord. Show me how to give, Lord. You bless my bank account. My bank account is all built up. Lord, show me. Where do I need to give it? It's never about you. I'm telling you, it's never just about you. It's about what the work of the Lord on the planet. Where do I give it, Lord God? Where do I give this money? I got too much in my account. Lord, just where do we plant? Don't let pride. I tell you, I warn you, folks. I warn you. I've seen it so many times. And I've messed up myself. But I'm telling you, I'm warning you, people of God. When God blesses you, because he blesses his people. I've seen him bless and bless and bless his people. But then I've seen so many of us mess up after the blessing. because we get lifted up in pride. We don't pray anymore. We don't come to church anymore. We don't need that. Please don't make that mistake. That's a grave error that you can make. And the temptation is so strong after you've accomplished something. The next point, all recognition we may receive for any accomplishment really belongs to Him.
Amen.
It really belongs to Him. That's from the book. Many great men and women have fallen at this point in their lives when Christ lifts them up. Folks, it happens. You've seen the great preachers even fall. Be careful. It starts in pride. Andrew Murray wrote that. He said, every human sin you can track back to pride. So be careful. No one is above falling. So their failure came because they took off their cloak of humility and in doing so lost sight of the Lord of glory. And I think we talked about Rick Joyner's book, The Final Quest, one of his bestsellers, The Final Quest. Boy, if you get a chance to read this book, it's a really powerful book. It's a sort of an allegory. It's a vision that he had. And he wrote down what he saw in the vision. And one of the things he talks about is the soldier himself. I think he was depicting himself as a soldier that was climbing a mountain. He climbed a mountain. Every time he got higher and higher in the mountain, his armor got shinier and shinier and shinier. It got so shiny he couldn't even see because it was so bright. And then they gave him a cloak, and it was a dingy cloak that he didn't want to put on at first. But when he put on the cloak, it took out the glow of his armor. It was still shiny, but it was under the cloak of humility. And then he could see how to go forward with his life because he put that thing under a cloak of humility. And that's what we have to remember to do. They began to believe, what happens with people, they began to believe that the glory was theirs and not his. So it happened so easily and so insidiously and so subtly. Pride can slip in with just a good feeling about your accomplishments. Are you hearing me? It could just be a good feeling. Oh man, got that done. And there's nothing wrong with a good feeling. There's nothing wrong with feeling good about, you know, what you've accomplished and what God blessed you to do. But be careful. Be careful at that point. Because after a while, you'll be like, oh, you didn't get that done? Well, I got it done. You know, because it's so easy. You can look, you can easily start. You can start just by looking at somebody else that didn't do as well as you did. You know, so you got to be very careful at that point that you're staying, you're keeping your mind elevated in praise. You're praising all the time. You know, and I find that helps. You fight this with the continued praise to the Lord of glory. Just keep a song and a praise in your heart. You know, as the Bible says, pray without ceasing. And I find one way you can do that is just always have a song in your heart. Be praising God. You know, even when you just get up and go to the restroom, just be praising. Just have a song in your heart so you keep your mind elevated. Because it's not in the scriptures necessarily, but this is true. An idle mind is a devil's workshop. You know, you can just be getting up to go to the restroom and the enemy of, you know, just hitting you with all these darts, as the Bible says, darts. You know, lies, you know, and he even challenges you. You know, one thing the Lord was, I was in prayer, the Lord was sharing with me today how we get divided amongst ourselves and how we get lifted up in pride one person over another is because the enemy will accuse, you know, the Bible says he's the accuser of the brethren. And he will bring those very accusations that he's saying to God about a person, he'll bring them to you. You know, like he's accusing, you know how she is. You know how he is. You know he's not going to listen to you. You know, and that's what he's saying about a person like Bill, the guy named Bill. And he said, you know, Bill's not going to listen. Bill never listens to you, God. So why is he going to listen now? You know, because, you know, Bill never listened. Back in 1999, Bill did not listen to you. And he'll bring that same thought, that same accusation to you. So what you're hearing, when you're hearing things about people, that is the accuser of the brethren and the sister-in, if you will, accusing them. You know, and you're hearing those accusations. And God is not taking it. You know, so why should you? Because when you take in those accusations of people that have, especially people that have come to Christ, and they're growing in God, and the enemy starts to remind you of their past, what he's doing is making the blood of Jesus Christ of no effect. That's what he's doing. And that's why he goes before the Father and accuses us, because he's trying to make the blood of Jesus Christ of no effect in that person's life. So don't take that on. Don't take that on. If that person has accepted Christ, and yes, they may fumble and stumble, but don't take it on. Don't let him accuse the brethren and the sisterin to you. And you take it on and say, yeah, that's right. I remember when they did that. And I bet they're going to do it again today. We have a meeting today, and I bet they're going to do it again today. You know, they did it last year. And here we are again at the 4th of July, and they're going to do the same thing they did at the last 4th of July. I'm telling you. I mean, is it not true? You gotta understand, again, the scripture says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. We perish and we fight and we're in strife because of lack of knowledge. We don't even understand. We're listening to the accusations, the accuser of the brethren, and we take it in. So we have to be so careful with pride. And the Lord had to show me that about myself, that when I feel good about something because I've had an accomplishment, boy, I'm so vulnerable to looking at somebody else's lack of accomplishment. I'm so vulnerable to it. And the Lord had to show me that. There's nothing wrong with you feeling good, but when you feel good, you tend to want to judge the others that haven't done it. Oh, folks, be careful. Be careful with yourself. That's why the scripture says, walk circumspectly, meaning to look all around as wise and not fools, redeeming the time because the days are evil. We're surrounded by the whores of hell, so we have to be very, very careful how we carry ourselves with this glory of God within us. The next point says, as Christ blesses your life, it is critical to live within the humility of the Savior who hid his glory so that others could be saved. Therefore, as the scripture says, and that should be says with an S, if you want to boast, boast only about the Lord. Boy, that's a hard thing to do. But that's what the scripture says. You take no boasting in yourself. If you want to boast, you boast in the Lord. The Lord helped me to do that. The Lord blessed me to do that. It's never, yeah, I did that. I just got it like that. You know, I just got it. You know, I've always been good at that. Because you had the gift since you were born with the gift. That's why you could always do it. The gift came from God. You know, so again, if you're going to boast, boast only about the Lord. Get that scripture and tuck it away, because that's one that you have to pull out over and over again. Especially as people are giving you compliments, you want to be very careful that you're boasting only in the Lord. The next point, the hidden glory has a purpose, to save others and to teach others. Will you hide the glory he gave you to save others and to teach others? Again, that's your question. Sometimes it's about teaching others. You know, the time will come when he will ask this of you, and he will ask you to let them do it this time. Stand back. We know you know. Stand back and let them do it. I'm telling you, he'll do that. Again, we are brought back to the altar of humility. You must assess if your purpose is to justify your feelings or to obey Christ, to lift yourself up or him. Oh boy, these are hard questions. But you need to answer them truthfully, because he sees the truth. And I'll tell you a secret. Everybody else sees the truth about you too. Sometimes, I mean, I've seen people try to boast on the sly. They try to boast about themselves on the sly. But you can kind of sense it. You ever heard people, you know, they're trying to give themselves a compliment on the slide, and you can see everybody's looking at them like, you know. I remember a girl that was at a big conference one time, and she was getting up, and she had sang a song, and she said, you know, I just thank God for just how he blessed me, you know. And, you know, people keep telling me I look like Vanessa Williams. That's when Vanessa Williams, and she goes, I don't care if I look like Vanessa Williams. It was silence throughout the room. It was like, because people saw it for what it was. You know, I'm trying to give myself a compliment about my beauty, and the whole room, you could hear a pin drop. And it was like thousands of people in this room because people can see it for what it is. So you got to really be sensitive to God when it comes to hiding the glory. The time will come when he'll ask this of you. Again, we are brought back to the altar of humility. You must assess if your purpose is to justify your feelings, as we read before, to lift yourself up or him. This test can come upon you so quickly, even in a conversation or a simple task. You weren't even expecting to be tested, okay? You were just going to take the trash out, okay? And you ran into a neighbor and something came up and the Lord said, don't. You know, like, could you, you know, your trash keeps falling over into my yard. Could you, you know, and the Lord would be like, you just were trying to take the trash out, you know? End of the day, you're tired. You know, you don't need this, you know. But that's those tests. As I said, be prepared. Be prepared because the test will come upon you quickly. It'll come upon you in a simple task or a conversation. And the question, who are you lifting up? This doesn't mean you become a doormat for Satan. Now, hear this part too. It doesn't mean you become a doormat for Satan or other people. It simply means that in every situation, you will choose to be obedient to the Lord of glory. You will allow him to master the glory he has placed within you. So hear this. It doesn't mean that you have to be a doormat and let people walk all over you. It means that you're going to be obedient. And sometimes that obedience means you have to have the courage to say what he has told you to say. Sometimes it means confrontation that you don't want. Some of you folks that don't like confrontation. Sometimes obedience means that you need to speak up. You know, the scriptures tell us, speak the truth in love. So the love piece is where you have to be obedient. You need to say what he has told you to say. And God has told me to say things. You know, I run an organization. I have to deal with people all the time. I was never a person that really liked confrontation, but I have to deal with it in obedience to God. You know, God has put a mantle on you, even as a mother. You know, mother, father, today is Father's Day. Fathers, you know, he's put a mantle on you to lead something, and sometimes you're going to have to be obedient. So it doesn't mean being a doormat. It means obedience to him in all situations. You allow him to master the glory he's placed within you. Next point says, Jesus obeyed his Father in hiding his glory until the mission was accomplished. Remember his words as he hung humiliated on a cross. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and voluntarily gave up his spirit. And that's the Amplified. That's John 19:30 in the Amplified. Voluntarily gave up his spirit. Understand, no man killed Jesus. Jesus laid down his life in obedience to his Father. He laid his life down. Nobody killed him. You know, if mankind was going to kill him, he should have died long before he got to that cross after what they did to his back. You know, after what they did to his back, he was bleeding out. I mean, that whip had little pieces of metal in it. His back was in ribbons. He should have bled out long before he got up a hill. You know, and then was nailed to a cross. So we understand that he voluntarily gave his life. And you know, I have to hit on this point that the Bible records he never passed out. Any human being should have passed out. They should have at least lost consciousness. He never did. Because he chose to see it through. He didn't take any breaks. He didn't take any time off in his obedience to the Father. He saw it through all the way to the end. So you got to understand his glory. Boy, again, it goes back to the Lord of glory. Last point here. In living this name, the Lord of glory, his praise should be continuous throughout your day. Spoken praise need not cease when we exit the prayer closet, and that's from our book. Hallelujah, I love that. His work, his wonder, and his majesty are all around us every day. Even our own bodies speak of his glory and wonder, for we are fearfully and wonderfully made. This is from Psalm 139:14. The love we have for our families and friends are a testament to the Lord's glory. He turns ashes into beauty for us. Hallelujah. Since the majesty of the Lord is everywhere, our praises can be offered anywhere. That's from the book. Boy, I love that. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that beautiful? You should always be praising God. I mean, I praise him for so much. Some people can't walk. Do you understand? Some people can't walk. You know, so even in the walk, Lord, I thank you I can walk today. Lord, I thank you my back's not out today. Lord, I thank you that I can talk today. I was listening to a testimony of Andrew Murray and how he went through years where he couldn't speak. Something happened to his throat and he couldn't speak. You know, but Lord, I thank you that I can speak. Lord, I thank you that the sun is rising in the east. I know I keep saying, but you know, it doesn't have to happen, you know. I'm telling you, Lord, I thank you that you caused things to work together for my good. Lord, I thank you. You kept me through the night. There are just thousands upon thousands of praises, you know, that we just take for granted that doesn't have to be. Look at people around you and what they're going through. You know, your day doesn't have to be your day. Your family does not have to make it until dinner time. But I thank you, Jesus. There's always a place to praise him, the Lord of glory. It's important to note that this work of living his name, the Lord of glory, is accomplished by the Holy Spirit in us. This is a good point that I just was writing, that the work of this glory in us is accomplished by the Holy Spirit. All Christ needs from you is the will to obey. In obeying and praying so that the Holy Spirit can be strong in you to do the work needed to radiate the Lord of glory. And this is so important because we have to understand the Holy Spirit is not a myth. The Holy Spirit is very real. And only the Holy Spirit can do the work. But if you don't invite the Holy Spirit in, you have no word in you. Where can the Holy Spirit work? Invite him in and watch you change. Yes. And you'll wonder, how in the world am I this different person now? It's because the Holy Spirit Amen. Is doing the work. Any comments, questions?
So, I'm going to answer back, just to keep my mouth shut. Listen, that's not easy.
I understand. I get you. I get you.
Sister Angelica says yes. They have not made a patient Italian, okay?
A patient Italian.
So is it as, you know, I still feel bad that I get angry at something, even if I'm not reacting to them.
Uh-huh.
And?
Well, it's a step. You're not reacting.
Yes.
So you just keep praying and ask the Holy Spirit. It's a process. I know what I'm, Connie, I know what I'm talking about because, you know, I can be mad at something and it takes me a minute. You know, I've learned to keep my mouth shut because before I'd be blah, blah, and I'm pouring out all that poison. But then I got to go do cleanup,
yes.
You know. So I'm trying to keep my mouth shut. But after you keep your mouth shut, the Holy Spirit can start changing your heart. I one thing about the Holy Spirit, he gives you a different perspective on things.
Yeah.
You know, he does. He lets you to see it from his angle, through the blood of Jesus Christ. You see people through the blood of Jesus Christ, and it changes everything.
I pray about that. The attitude. I had the most obnoxious customer yesterday.
Yeah. It's hard to be.
I so wanted to tell him.
But But you just kept your mouth
shut. I kept it.
Telling you, praise Jesus.
He left me a $5. Nobody leaves me tips because they know I own it.
Yeah.
He left me a $5, and I thought, oh.
See, the rest of the story. See,
yeah.
But see, that's something you can relate back to, and that'll help the work the Holy Spirit is doing in your life. That, see,
I do pray for that, yes. And I do pray for the attitude.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, because I know that's got to change, or yeah. I wouldn't. So I don't want to be getting even angry at somebody because how they act.
Yes. I tell you, the Holy Spirit can shift attitude. Mm-hmm. In fact, I just remember that quote by Chuck Swindoll. He says, attitude is that single string that can cripple your progress or keep you going.
Okay.
It alone can assault your hope or fuel your fire. Uh-huh. You know, and I always remembered that. You know, just that it's a single string that can change everything.
Well, through the teaching and then you answered my question through the teaching, which is good because I'm always glad when I'm going, oh, I gotta ask her. But the month of May was a very, very difficult month in our mm-hmm. family. And then I had a person tell me, I was getting calls every day, and a person told me, you are my pillar of strength. And at the time, you know, I was emotional myself, so I couldn't really respond. Then I stopped and I thought, I can't be anybody's pillar of strength.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God is the pillar of strength where I draw my strength from. Uh-huh. I can't be. And so I had to sit down and write a letter to this person and give her some suggestions about what I have to do every day to draw my strength from.
Yes.
The daily devotionals. Yes. Look up the scripture. Look at the daily devotional, several of them.
Yes.
Look at the scriptures and learn how to apply it to my life.
Yes.
Right. And I can't give this person what they need.
Yes.
I can't. Only God can give this person what this need, what this person needs. And so I had to put it in writing because it was so difficult for me to say this.
Yes.
But we have to be able to tell the person in love and point them in the right direction where they need to go.
Absolutely.
And then we have to take our hands off and let God do the rest of the work.
Absolutely.
And so thank you for the teaching because it was like, I'm waiting to hear that last bit. That was bingo. I told the girls, bingo, there it is, okay. Thank you for that teaching.
I tell you, and I remember, because I learned that from Pastor Wilson, Bobby Wilson, you'd give him a compliment on how good the sermon was, and he would point you straight to Jesus.
Yes, right.
Like, but isn't God good?
Yes.
Forget me.
Yeah.
You know, I love God because God lets you shine. He will let you shine and let you look good.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, we must be very careful to point people right back to Christ.
Yes.
You know, there's only one, Lord had to tell me this, that there's only one Lord and Savior, and you're not him.
That's right.
You know, and I'm telling you, I told a friend of mine, that friend was saying, she said something about you being like Christ. I'm like, well, you know what? There's only one Lord and Savior, and I'm not him. I thought I was him at one time, but I'm not him. And what I mean by that is this, that I thought I could go around helping people. Oh, let me help over here. Let me help over there. Let me do this. Let me do that. Oh, I'll be there. And, all of this stuff until I was exhausted.
Yep.
And the Lord had to tell me, there's only one Lord and Savior, and you're not it. Let Jesus be Jesus.
Yes.
You are nobody's Jesus. So stop trying to be people's Jesus. And let Jesus be Jesus.
Amen.
You know, and I'm like, oh, okay. Get around the table.
I just wanted to say, when my husband and I were in a bad accident, and you said about appreciating things, I always remember how appreciative I was just to finally be back to normal and was able to hold a broom, able to get up steps, able to bathe.
Yes.
So it wasn't even the big things that were important to me. It was just the little things that we do out of life that we don't realize.
Take for granted. Yeah.
So I always thank God that was a good lesson for
me.
Even though I was injured, that was fine. I learned something out of it.
Amen. And I'll tell you, it may seem like that was a bad thing or a hard thing that happened, but you come out of it with this gratefulness.
Mm-hmm.
You can be thankful, but it's different. Thankfulness and gratefulness are different. Gratefulness is here. Thankfulness, thank you, thank you, thank you. But gratefulness, that's from the heart. Yeah, so praise God for that gift of gratefulness. Oh.
The lesson today was really great because I know God has blessed us so many times and it's been so faithful, and pride, you know, sometimes is a temptation, and we try not to be prideful because it's all about mm-hmm. Him. Yeah. He's the one that gave us the blessing, yeah. Beautiful house and mm-hmm. all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I always say to people, I said, it's not my home, it's my
My father's house. Amen.
And that's how yeah. we try to humble yeah. ourselves. Uh-huh. And every day I always say, you know, Lord, when I go to work and everything, I said, let your word be mm-hmm. acceptable mm-hmm. in your pleasing to you. That's mm-hmm. what I want to do.
Yeah.
And you know, the pride, that's why Satan, I just was telling him, Satan fell because of his pride. Yeah. And we cannot boast about yeah. what he's been giving us because it wasn't us that
yes.
did it.
Amen.
And we need to have that humbleness
yes.
and surrendering everything to God. And he does elevate you
yes.
and exalt you in due time.
Yes.
But you have to be obedient to him.
Yes.
That's the only thing to do.
Yes. Amen. Amen. And it's a blessing to know that God did it.
Yes.
You know, I tell people, I said, I shouldn't be in my house. I shouldn't even be in there. I said, you know, single parent working at a nonprofit, I should not even be in that house. Jesus did that. You know, I go back and I'm like, I was in a fog back at the time, but Lord, I don't know. I have no idea how I got here.
But you know, like, we cannot judge anybody.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And when we see other people like that, you know,
yes.
unfortunate.
Yes.
You can say, you know, that I was that.
Yes.
I was the same
yes.
person.
Yes.
You cannot judge that
yes.
other person, and you just have to lift them up
yes.
and pray for them.
Yes.
And that's why, you know, my husband and I, you know, we pray every day, God.
Yes.
And just looking at our home,
yes.
and it's like,
yes.
my God, you know, what would I have done for you? You know, this is amazing.
Yes.
And we just boast on the Lord, not
yes.
us, you know.
Yes.
It's him.
Amen. Amen. I remember you made me think of my when we were teenagers back in the church back home, and we had my friend used to always kid me, you know, anytime something happened, I said, I can't believe this happened. She goes, you live right, God will bless you. She would always, that was her comeback to me, and I look at her with this like, oh, okay, so I'm not living right, but you are, you know. But that was that thought process. But that's the way some people think. You live right, God will bless you. You know, I'm like, no, you don't even know the plans
that
he got us.
You guys do this. I said, it's not me, it's him.
It's all him.
It's all
because you can't even figure it out. You
no,
can't even
I
figure
can't
it
figure out.
I said,
myself.
You know, this should not have happened for
no.
me. This should have fell through.
But you,
you know,
first,
yes.
You
I'm telling you, it should have fell. So many things should have fell through, Rita.
Mm.
So many things should have fell through. But it was God, and I give him the honor and glory. Anybody else before we pray? Okay, we're going to pray. Lord, we just thank you. Lord, we just thank you because you are the Lord of glory, Lord God. And Lord, our prayer as we do all of this, as we talk about your word and we take in your word, Lord, our prayer is that we would learn how to be grateful. Lord, that the gratefulness would come from our heart, Lord God, that we would learn how to be obedient, Lord God. Oh, Father, that we would be obedient as you, God, are the Lord of glory in our lives, Lord God. Let your glory, Lord, manifest itself in our life, whether it's in silence, Lord God, or whether if it's in confrontation, Lord God. Let your glory be manifested in our lives, Lord God. Father, this world needs to see your glory. We need to radiate your glory. Lord, today we're talking about living it, Lord God. Father, we're not talking about knowing it or studying it. Lord, today we're talking about living it, Lord God. So, Lord, I pray even as we get up tomorrow that we would live it, Lord God, that we would know that every trial, every tribulation, every situation, every frustration, Lord, came through your hand before it got to us, Lord God. And Father, I pray that we as your people would learn our lessons well, Lord God.
Yes.
That we would learn our lessons so we don't have to go around the mountain again and again.
Yes, Lord, help us.
But we would learn what it is, Lord God, to live in your glory, to be obedient to your glory so we can radiate it.
Yes.
your glory. And people will look at us and say, wonder what, how in the world did you all do that? It is because we serve the Lord of glory, Lord God. So we thank you and we praise you and we magnify your name. In Jesus, the name of Jesus, the Lord of glory, we pray. Amen. Amen.